Heartbeat of Tennis is here. We are an exciting tennis show serving up fresh voices, bold insights, and we promise a lot of fun. Today on the Tennis Pulse, a special segment called Ask the Expert, where our hosts ask the burning questions that have been on their minds to our Pulse expert, Charlie Stape. Feel the heartbeat of tennis with your hosts and tennis fans, Lindy Weissadel-Mulla Vestenhagen, Federica Fenari, William Van Mossenon, Zani Suttle. The Tennis Pulse starts now. This is the Tennis Pulse. I'm Lindy Weissadel-Mulla Vestenhagen. In this segment, we get the pleasure. I mean, we are four tennis fans, but we have the pleasure. And the person that kind of gives us our clout and expertise, we have the resident Tennis Pulse expert, Charlie Stape, here to join us, where we can ask him questions. Thank you so much, Charlie, for being here. I want to start out with something that I have never really understood. Why is there no video assist referee in tennis? I mean, it came late, also in football, too. I know it slows the game down, but what is your feelings on these instant replays? I mean, Zani, you were talking about a match.
It was Draper against Ogier-Aliassime in the Cincinnati Open, and Draper had a match point. He served and volleyed, and he hit a double bounce, basically, and the ball went over, but it double bounced on his side. And the umpire called it as game, set, match. And Ogier-Aliassime was like, are you kidding me? He was already going to the next side, to return. And Draper was a bit kind of like, I think he knew that he'd also, of course he knew. So they had this massive like blowout at the end of the match. And the umpire basically was like, listen, I didn't see it. This is my call. And the call stood. So Draper won the match. And I just found that really unfortunate in that situation. If there was a video playback, you know, obviously that wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have been able to.
Everybody was able to see it and watch it at home. So
no, I mean, I'm very happy that they already have now the Hawkeye for the lines. Mm. That's already a big step. And I think the big issue to introduce this new technology is that you have it on all the tournaments, meaning everybody needs to have the same equipment. Sometimes even cover a lot of courts. So it's a cost thing as well. And the example you were saying, yes, they should have had the video, how do you call it?
Video assist referee, VAR.
Yeah, video assist referee. Because on the replay, you could have, we saw it on the replay that it's definitely a wrong call. But I think that's not like in soccer. It's a very, very few decisions where you can use it. But since there are cameras, they should have it, I believe, and you know, for these cases. But I think much more important than the video
assist for VAR.
VAR is that, you know, every tournament will should have the automatic the line system and no more linesmen. I think that's a big step. I think that helps a lot, takes out a lot of tension and bad calls. You know, I mean, it's frustrating if you're a player and it comes down to one or two points. And, you know, you have the match point or the other guy has a match point and you have the shot on the line and it's going to call out. And it's in that moment where everything counts and you make it, you do it to your job and it's taken away by a linesman call. And it's human, not, you know, it's very fast, the tennis. So it's human that there are missed calls. So I think this is the best what can happen to tennis, that they have the line system now, the Hawkeye.
But there's still no Hawkeye at French Open, right?
No.
Or any clay court?
And there's always a lot of discrepancies at French Open. Where is the bounce?
Clay.
Is
it, it's always clay.
And that's
always
a big problem on clay. Because, I mean, they didn't have it on clay because you always have marks. But still,
but
having marks, sometimes it touches, sometimes not. They should even have it on clay, in my opinion. And also think about, I mean, we're all humans and you have like 10 linesmen. And you react on personalities, even if they're sitting there, you know, you say, I don't like that guy, or he's giving you a bad call. You have so many, many emotions and people to turn to. So it takes off a lot of emotions. Yeah. Maybe you guys don't like it. You like more emotions.
Yeah, the drama.
But I think it takes out a lot of mistakes having the line system and pressure of the linesman. I wouldn't like to sit there calling a serve, if it's 1 millimeter on the line,
so much pressure,
you will make mistakes. But these mistakes, they have a lot of impact on the result sometimes. Of course, everybody says, it balances out throughout the year. You get good calls, bad calls, yes, but you don't want to have a bad call in a deciding moment. That's the worst thing what can happen.
Yeah, and balls are so fast nowadays that it's really impossible. And the point of view really changes everything. You could see it out from this side, but from the other side, you see it totally in.
Yeah.
And when they are so fast, so this is a big help, I think, for the players.
Well, Quinn Wynn wouldn't have had anyone to complain about running into us.
Exactly. Good point.
I mean, in former days, you played Davis Cup in a foreign country, you getting calls called out in like that. It was like that.
Really?
I mean, this takes out a lot of tension and cheating as well.
Yeah. Most of the time, a match is really about few points
it's
of difference.
Yeah.
So
it
is important.
No, especially in these most important moments, that's where the good players or the great players make the difference to the others. And you don't want to have you play a perfect point and you're not getting it. So that's all the other way around.
So frustrating.
It's frustrating, yeah.
For sure.
And what do we think about the pressure of tennis balls, which has been a big talk this year? Medvedev
may comment that to the ref as well, too.
Let me tell you what he said. He said, we played with the same balls at the Australian Open, and I had a terrible feeling with them. I injured my wrist before playing Korda. I thought it was my problem, but I talked to other players and they were also complaining about elbow, wrist, and shoulder injuries. I think the balls are responsible. That's what Medvedev said at one point.
It always has an effect on the player, the balls, but some balls, the winner of the Australian Open wouldn't complain again.
Yeah, of course not. I mean, Sabalenka, she's hitting the ball miles an hour beforehand.
So for some players, slow balls helping them. Mm. Medvedev likes to have fast balls because he doesn't have much speed on his strokes. He plays with the speed of the player and with the balls. That's where he generates. So for him, it's not good.
Mm.
But it will.
But the injuries?
Injuries, yes. If they're very small. I mean, at our times, we played always in Sweden, they played with Triton pressureless balls. Mm. And there, everybody got arm problems because it's such a big difference often to the normal balls. And or you play, play a tournament where it's raining, balls getting heavy and big, then you get arm problems. Yes, I mean, if there's a certain ball in these days, the players really have issues with that. They should take them off. I mean, you have a lot of possibilities of different balls, but it has an effect definitely on the arm. If you have slow balls, you have to hit much harder and therefore you get injured. Yes, but I think Medvedev was complaining because it doesn't suit his game.
Yeah.
But Lindy, maybe this is the what's
reason
happening
for all of us. Yeah, all of us. We all have the tennis elbow. I have it too.
I'm blaming the balls too.
Seriously.
The tennis elbow and shoulder.
Why? Seriously. I changed the rackets, the string, the tension.
Had an issue.
I went all out and I didn't think about the balls.
But it is a problem. Why do you play? Why do you? Yeah. It must have been. It must be the balls.
The balls.
Only new balls. Interesting.
I don't know, but it has an effect. Yes. So actually, it would help much more to have one ball for the tour. So players don't, when they change from Tokyo to Sydney to the next tournament, or at least they play with the same ball. Anyway, you change the surface, which also has an effect on the ball, because some surfaces, if they are too rough, then the ball blows up, it gets slow. Mm. On other surfaces, it doesn't have the same effect, the balls stay well. So there's a lot of factors coming into it, and it would help, I think, the players to have one ball, but you have different sponsors, different companies. Yeah, so it's hard.
Sense.
But a similar ball would be helpful, definitely.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you your thoughts on off-court coaching. For me, growing up and as a singles player, I would have needed some off-court coaching. Mm. But players like Denis Shapovalov.
The tongue twister.
Denis?
Just Shapovalov.
Yeah.
Like Canadian.
Canadian, yeah.
He criticized the change and he wrote on X, Not just as a tennis player, but as a fan of this sport, it's sad to see this new off-court coaching rule. Tennis is special because you are out there alone. Why are you trying to change the beauty of this game?
Well, first of all, before it was not allowed, everybody was coaching.
True.
So it was just
him.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
You always had the contact to your coach, and you knew when he was doing this or that sign, you knew what was going on. So I think it's part of every sport. The coach is a big part. So in any, compare to any other sport, you have chances to have a coach. Even on Davis Cup or Billie Jean King Cup, you have your coach on the bench.
Yeah.
And that's the most important team event. So I think it's a great step in the... And brings an extra thing into the for the fan also watching. They hear what the coach is saying. I think it's interesting. You know, what is he saying to him? Why step into the more to the line? You know, or serve with more variety. I think it's very interesting for the fans to hear what the coach has to say.
I will second that, because when we were at the Equitrans Ladies Open, even last year when we were sitting next to Coco Gauff's dad. For me, I was just feeling like my father, like hearing his coaches, like he'd be like, you got this, you got the serve, you can serve all day, you know, no problem. Yeah. You can do it in your sleep. And it was just so wonderful to hear just the coaching so close up. So I kind of agree. It could actually add some excitement.
And for the players, to be honest, it's not a difference. Now it's just on the open now. Before, it was hidden by the coach. The rule right now makes completely sense, because coaching was there always, even when it was banned. And now the fans can participate.
I like on-court coaching. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Growing up in the juniors, my dad was my coach. Sorry, funny story. And I remember I was playing this one girl, and she cheated a lot. And I remember his sign.
Sheila, I know who you're talking about.
Do you remember her?
Won't say her name, but she cheated a lot.
Won't say her name. So my dad, to show that she was cheating, like to help me out, because I couldn't see, I was just in the game, he would turn his hat backwards. And that meant that the girl was cheating. And I remember mid-play or after one point, I can't remember, I looked up at him and his hat was backwards. And I was like, oh, she's cheating. You're cheating. And the girl was like, what? And I was like, you're cheating. And I like stormed off.
How did she cheat though? Just call the ball out?
She called the ball out, and it was completely in all the time. Yeah. But the best was me looking up to my dad and be like, oh, okay. Yeah, he's done. So
that's
like
the unfortunate and tennis. I mean, like when we're playing, like, you know, growing up as well too, they had the advantage of calling the ball in and out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like that's how we grew up playing.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's still like in junior tournaments or even in future tournaments where you play for ATP points, you play on court 15 at the first round. They don't have linesmen.
That's right. Yeah, it's true. It's the honorary system.
In the very low tournament, you don't even have an umpire. So it's there's a lot of cheating going on.
Yeah.
I wonder how this is going to affect actually the mind game, because if they are able to talk officially, now they're going to play also on the mind of the opponent.
Yeah.
I mean, but we saw that at the Berlin Open.
You have it already. Small tournaments where you play on court 16, watching, players coming off the court and going to the umpire and say, I won 6-4, 7-5. The other guy says, what are you talking about? I won the match.
What?
Really?
In junior tournaments. Yeah, that's happening.
Oh my gosh.
What? Wow.
And who can prove it?
Yeah, who can?
What?
The honors. Yeah, I've been there before as well too, growing up playing as well. Like
that's
his kids were always like cheat me as well too. I'm like, no. And I would lose my mind, and then I would lose the match because my emotions would take over me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I could never control my emotions as a player growing up as well too, because I'm a hothead. Like, I'm going to go for the shot. Like, I'm going to hit you. Like, that's the only way I can win. Like, if you get hit, I get it. Yeah.
In juniors, you had situations where you knew, okay, I have to really play 1 meter inside the court. Otherwise, the guy is giving it out.
You can't go for the lines.
And there's nothing you can do. What do you do?
Yeah.
Mm. And you call the referee coming to the court. You play on hard court. No, you don't have any marks on the court.
Mm.
It's tough. I remember I played in the Futures and it was indoors in Germany, and I remember the guy, I won't say his name, but he was a very nice guy.
Say his name. No, I'm just kidding.
Just do it. No.
Just kidding.
And it was a break point for me, and he called out and said, what are you doing? He said, Charlie, I need this point.
Oh, my God.
No way.
Otherwise, I need the point. I said, what are you talking about?
Oh, my
I need
Lord.
The point. I love
That's
the point.
So great.
I love it.
That's amazing.
Okay, there's a last one on here. I think, Zana, you have it.
With Zverev or?
Yeah, Zverev.
Okay, yeah, Zverev being number two, no Grand Slams. Your thoughts on that? I think Marcelo Rios, if I remember this Chilean number one player, he was one player. That was number one, never won a Grand Slam. I mean, it's still very early in Zverev's career, and there's potential, I mean, and talk of him winning potentially one, but let's see. But he's number two, no Grand Slams. What are your thoughts on...
I think with the experience of this year, hopefully he will get another chance. But as in an episode before we spoke about, he missed big chances already. And it's getting more and more difficult. You have dominating players now with Alcaraz and Sinner and other guys coming up. It's not getting easier. And it could happen that he's ending his career without a Grand Slam. Definitely, it's going to be very, very hard for him. And not to forget, the pressure for him also is getting bigger.
Exactly. It's getting bigger because everyone's asking.
When he gets the chance, for him, it's also a huge pressure now because that's what he didn't achieve yet. He has an incredible career, winning 1,000, you know.
Gold medal.
Yeah. Olympics.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's what... he definitely want to have on his belt, and the pressure is huge for him.
That's huge. Mm.
I mean, if he is going to pull it out, I have to say that would be a great achievement.
On which surface do you think he'll pull out on?
Good question.
I think on hard court,
right?
Really?
Not on clay. He believes that, he's great on clay as well, but I think over best of five, long matches, with his height, I don't believe he can win a Roland Garros. I told the other day to a friend of mine, for him to win a Grand Slam would be much easier if it would be indoors. But there's no indoor.
There's no indoors, yeah. He does well indoors, though.
That's why.
Yeah, he did well at Laver Cup this year as well.
You're covered. There's no wind. He's very, if it's bad conditions, windy, it's tough for him to play with his height, with his huge swings. Mm. Yeah, for him it would be better indoors.
He's been working so hard. I am actually impressed how in Paris-Bercy, how he hit the practice court
after his match.
Even after the final.
Yeah.
I believe the biggest thing what he missed out, and probably he can't hear it anymore, but many commentators or experts said it, I think he stays way too far
back.
Because he's a very dangerous player when he stands at the line. He can hit the ball really hard, but he tends to be too defensive when it comes really to decide the match.
Point.
Yeah. That's our observation we had at Laver Cup, all three of us. Well, all four of us. Yeah. We missed you, though.
So.
It's a bit faster, I would say, than Australian Open. Depends also about the temperature, but US Open is a tough to play. Also, it can be very hard to play over 2 weeks. If you have a bad day, windy, and I didn't like to play.
I feel like the US Open, the Americans are always dominating. They always show up because the crowd's like so rooting for them. Like, it gets loud for the Americans.
And
so
you have to like it. It's an exhausting tournament because you stay in the city, have to go out 1 hour, then it's loud. It's a lot of going on. You really have to. Some players really love it.
Yeah.
But if you can't handle it, it's a tough tournament to win.
It's very time consuming for sure.